ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's almost like that electric energy of kind of before anyone's really said anything, I was worried about what I should wear and kind of all these silly things because you want to put your best foot forward.
A first date. Is there anything more nerve-wracking? You're putting yourself out there, really out there. Beth Williams knows that feeling. Mouth dry, having just sought reassurance from her best friend on the phone. She's going to a meetup. Casual lunch. And yeah, might be casual in style, but everyone knows that first meeting, there's nothing casual about it.
You know, you walk into the cafe and they're sitting at the back at the table and it's your heart beats in your chest and it's a crazy experience.
She's been chatting to not one, but two men for a few weeks now. But
you can talk online and you can chat via text, and anyone who's done online dating knows you can say anything via text. But whether that conversation flows naturally when you don't have that time to reflect on what you're about to say is very, very different.
And this first date, it's not with the guy she likes best. It's with the two of them at the same time.
I'd send them photos of poses that we were working on in my yoga classes.
The two guys she's been messaging have been away on a holiday together.
And so I'd get photos back from them of them doing these yoga poses by the pool.
Now the guys are back in Melbourne and they're meeting up in person for the first time. On Messenger, the three of them get along like a house on fire. But how will it feel face to face? Beth's about to find out. The thing is, though, she's not looking for a romantic relationship with this pair. I'm Faza Draki, and on this episode of Days Like These, we meet Beth and hear the story of how she helped Dan and Tyson start a family together. The whole idea was planted years ago when her son was a baby, and Beth was flipping through a magazine. She came across stories of people who couldn't conceive for whatever reason.
I was sitting down nursing my son and I was reading it, and it just broke my heart a little bit to hear all these stories of people who couldn't conceive naturally and who just needed a bit of a helping hand. All these things that are so out of their control and the lengths that they had to go through to even attempt for a family, it just seemed like a lot.
Her partner at the time wasn't into the idea of Beth donating her eggs, but when they split, she felt even more compelled to do it.
Approaching 30, there's a lot of information, a lot of kind of, it's socially accepted that a woman's fertility declines after 30. So that was a little bit of a time pressure. I thought if I'm going to do it, I better do it now. If I was going to take on a new venture, that would be the time to do it.
It's not just the biological clock ticking. Beth feels like she's in a good place to donate her eggs. She's busy with two kids, but she's in her own lane, doing her thing.
You know, I was healthy, I was happy, I was living a really good life. I had shared custody for both with my ex, so I did have some days where I was kid-free. I was working as a yoga instructor. I had several classes all over Melbourne. I felt like I was living my best life. I was single, but I was happily so.
So Beth joins an egg donation site. And she finds a lot of people on there looking not just for egg donors, but for surrogates. It's the first time she realises surrogacy is even allowed in Australia.
I think that was the first moment when I kind of went, oh, okay, this is a thing that people do.
All of a sudden, it's not just egg donation that's a possibility. So is carrying another person's child. She's not sure about it, but she wants to do her research and find out more. The egg donation site leads her to an Australian surrogacy Facebook page, a group who host meetups with potential surrogates and potential parents. This is all new territory for her. She's nervous. But eventually, she posts.
I just sort of said that, you know, look, I'm from Victoria, I'm a single parent, I'm looking at going to one of these catch-ups, but I'm a little bit nervous. And there were quite a few responses to that.
Surrogates share their stories with her. And couples who are looking for surrogates tell her what it's like. It's supportive, full of good people. This is not a small ask.
I didn't know that I was going to be able to do surrogacy. I was just kind of investigating and finding out if it was right for me or if egg donation was right for me. I didn't want to get anyone's hopes up. And so I just wanted to find out what it was really all about. So I was kind of swimming in the big sea by myself.
Then there's a comment on her post that catches her eye. Dan and Tyson are a couple who've been trying to find a surrogate for about a year. She likes them from the start.
They had some photos of their puppies. Dan and Tyson are dog people like myself.
She's doing that thing you do, you know, when you first meet someone online. She's stalking their pics. Come on, we've all done it.
There was also the video of Tyson proposing to Dan. So Dan and Tyson were lifeguards. Tyson had organised it with friends and family, and he had basically set it up so that each family member had a line from their song.
By the way, their song is I Won't Give Up by Jason Mraz.
And each of them were walking by and handing it to Dan.
So they've got these lyrics written on cards, lines like, I won't give up on us. Even if the skies get rough, I'm giving you all my love.
As he, the poor man, standing there in his bathers and his towel, and each family member's handing in a line from their song, and then at the end, Tyson came out and proposed. Just seeing that all in that video made me realise that any child that came into this family already had so much love, so much family, and just came from such a beautiful place.
Beth's thinking, I like them. She likes their big gesture energy, their sense of fun and romance. But there's another couple she's talking to as well. They also seem really nice. How do you decide who you have more chemistry with? Beth has to make a choice.
I let the other couple know that I had met a set of intended parents that I really gelled with, and I wanted to maintain our friendship, but that was sort of the avenue I was going to go down. And they were incredibly supportive of that.
There's nothing wrong with the other couple. They're lovely. But Dan and Tyson, they're her people.
Yeah, just very similar kind of outlooks on parenting, very similar outlooks on a lot of different things in life. So I'm a personal trainer and they were personal trainers previously. We actually used to go to the same gym.
After she meets them in a cafe that day for the first time, they're gelling quicker than red airplane jelly on a wall. Harder than hair gel on a teenage boy's hair. More jelly than Brutus to Caesar. You get the picture. The dream first date, really.
I think we talked so long that the lunch ended and then we had to go somewhere else because we were still so busy talking that we kind of just wanted to keep going. I don't know, I walked in feeling really nervous and wondering if I was crazy. And I walked out thinking they have every right to be parents. They would make amazing parents. It comes back to that whole thing of falling in love. When you meet the one or when you meet the ones, you kind of know.
It's like a little warm feeling in your gut that says, yes, this feels right. It's instinctual, immediate.
And I was sitting in my car and I typed out a message for Dan and Tyson and I said, I don't know if you're speaking to other surrogates at the moment.
See if there's a possibility of me potentially offering to you one. I'd like to go steady in. How would you feel about that?
And then I sat there and I kind of waited. And it is like asking someone to be serious.
Let's go steady. Will you wear my ring? Let's be exclusive. It's a very big question. And spoiler, the guys say yes. But her asking the question, the guy saying yes, it's not, do you want me to carry your baby? Yes, we want you to carry our baby. This is, do you want to see if this could work? Do you want to jump off a cliff together to find out if we land? This is, I'm ready to take a big leap into the big unknown, but only the first leap. And if Beth's really going to do this, she wants to make sure they're a good match. And that means spending time together. A lot more time.
I guess one of the best analogies I've heard is that it's like being on a bus. If you're going to be on a bus with someone for 9 months, you want to make sure that you're on the bus with the right people.
So Beth starts a spreadsheet to track all the times they hang out. Yes, you heard right. A spreadsheet. She'd heard that it takes 100 hours to get to know someone. She makes notes of what they do and the length of time. Getting dinner, drinks, tackling tough questions about their values, parenting, and everything in between. The hours start adding up. Dan and Tyson even help Beth move house.
Anyone who's moved house knows that it is one of the most stressful things you can do outside probably of a wedding. They were hauling boxes. Tyson was taking apart my bed and packing things up. You know, the kids were running amok and they were just there to always kind of lift if I couldn't lift and help with the truck and just, yeah, they were really great. Could have managed it by myself, but by having them around, it just felt that little bit easier. It just felt like I wasn't in it alone.
As Beth is really getting to know them and adding more dates to her spreadsheet, she's there for big life events. Dan's 30th, Dan and Tyson's wedding. But the real test comes when Dan and Tyson babysit Beth's two kids. She needs to know these guys are going to gel with all of her family.
I think it's the ultimate trust to say, can you look after my children? But in a surrogacy journey, you're literally offering to watch their child for 10 months. So it's only fair that that trust goes both ways.
They pass the babysitting test. Beth's kids love the guys and they haven't even bribed them with lollies. It's looking more like a perfect match. But not everyone in her life is so keen on the idea of her potentially being a surrogate.
There were concerns from family members that as a single parent, this was probably not the right time to do it. But I guess the way that I responded to that was that I was managing being a single parent quite well and my kids were happy and I was happy and I was settled.
In Australia, commercial surrogacy is illegal. Beth's an altruistic surrogate, so no payment, which is legal, though each state and territory has different rules around it.
One of the most common comments I often get is, oh, I'd never do that. And I think there's a level of judgment that comes with that because it's not right for everyone. There are a lot of people who won't understand why anyone would do this because from the outside, it seems like you're giving a lot for nothing in return because we're altruistic.
She knows it can be a long, hard journey. So she's weighing up everything. After many months of getting to know Dan and Tyson, it's time. Beth could tell them a dozen ways. A phone call, maybe a reunion at the start of their first date. But that big gesture energy of the proposal, Beth is as much of a fan of the big gesture as they are. So she finds two huge cardboard boxes and two helium balloons to put in them. Balloons hidden in their boxes, she takes them over to Dan and Tyson's place. Each balloon has a card attached to its string. The first says, your bun. The second, a question.
My oven?
She gets the guys to open the boxes.
It was beautiful. So the balloons popped out and they looked a little bit confused and then Tyson turned one of the tags around and he read it out loud and then Dan looked at me and he said, really? And I sort of nodded and then he started crying and then I started crying.
Beth is going to carry the baby, but they'll use someone else's eggs to conceive.
For me, I wanted to have the separation between it being one of my children and being someone else's child. I know that there are traditional surrogates out there who don't become attached and who deliver and that's their choice and that's absolutely fine. But for me, I really wanted to have a bit of separation between my children and this child that I was carrying.
The egg donor is actually someone Dan knew from high school. They reconnected online in the Facebook group. They get all the legal, medical stuff and paperwork ready. There's a lot of paperwork. Line their ducks in a row. And while they've made the decision to stay on this baby bus together, it's a long journey ahead. But they make it to implantation day. Dan and Tyson's bun. Beth's oven.
You walk in and you pop your feet up in the stirrups, and then the doctor hands in the straw, and then anyone who's gone through IVF knows it's over quite quickly.
The procedure itself is quick, but the wait to find out if things went well is not. Everyone is dying to find out if it worked, and as the one peeing on those pregnancy tests, it's Beth who finds out first. One day, she goes around to visit Dan and Tyson with her kids. No big deal. Nice and casual. But she's got a plan.
So one of the jokes I had said early on was that, you know, having kids, you would never get rid of the glitter out of your house.
Every parent knows the glitter rule.
We walked into the house and we were just casually chatting.
Here's the genius of the plan. She gets the kids to sneak around, not noticed by Dan and Tyson.
We snuck glitter into their pockets, into their clothes, into their everything. And so we put glitter everywhere.
Drum roll, please. She hands Dan a bottle filled with glitter. He's not sure what's going on.
And I had put the due date on it. The kids said surprise, and then we flung glitter everywhere, and Tyson was looking around and Dan was looking at me, and then he was looking at the bottle in his hand, and they looked at it and they kind of went, really? And I said, really? Dan was like, really? And I was like, really? And then there were more tears all around.
Beth's pregnant. They did it. It's a huge moment. The guys are so excited. Beth's excited too. And really, really sick.
So there would be times where I would be driving and I would pull over at a red light, and then I would vomit into a vomit bag, and then I would continue driving.
They make a bunch of plans so that Tyson and Dan can support Beth throughout the pregnancy. They live close by. They're on hand to help out or drop things around. They'll come to every appointment along the way. But it's 2021, and we all know what that means to well-laid plans. The Delta wave of COVID hits Melbourne, and everything changes. Again.
There was a lot of Zooms. We did a lot of Zooms, and we did a lot of phone calls, and we still chatted online every day, but it felt, in a way, quite disconnected from the pregnancy and from the experience.
On top of all that, Beth's a single mum. She'd been coping with it all well before the pandemic hit, but suddenly she's pregnant and it hits different.
I work in the fitness industry, so we were shut down for quite a long time. My children weren't in school, so I was then homeschooling. I was just as unwell as I had been before, but I couldn't leave my house to go for a swim. I couldn't sort of access things that normally would help me feel better.
Dan and Tyson do talk to Beth every day, but they can't just drop in on her, cook meals together, and look after her kids in the same way they planned. And then, 8 months pregnant, Beth catches COVID herself. Her heart rate and breathing are out of control, and she has to go to hospital.
You're putting on the mask and then the shield and then the gown and trying to get a gown around a, you know, 8 month pregnant belly. And then you walk into the hospital and they wipe down the lift when you get in, and then you go in and you go up a floor and then they wipe it down and they follow you down the hallway kind of wiping it. And it was really scary. It would have been scary even if I wasn't pregnant, but knowing that I was carrying someone else's child and kind of, yeah, waiting to get the ultrasound, waiting to see that little heartbeat, make sure that it was still okay, and then waiting to be able to message the boys and kind of saying, like, Bubs is all right, was a lot.
In the lead up to the pregnancy, there had been so much excitement and planning and glitter and big gestures. This lonely COVID pregnancy, though, is the opposite of that.
It was a very lonely moment at that point. It was just a moment of, what the hell was I thinking? For me in that situation, there were moments where I thought, did I bite off more than I could chew? Did I take on too much? Because it was really tough mentally. It was really tough emotionally. And I guess for me, seeing my kids in lockdown, even though that part was out of my control because I was pregnant, I wasn't my best self. I wasn't able to parent as well as I would have liked to have.
Days pass, then weeks. And while time moved differently during lockdown, it still moved. Then It's on. Beth's in labour. Her contractions start.
They were quite intense.
Dan and Tyson are there with her.
At one point, Dan sort of said to me, you know, what do you need from us? Because I imagine they felt like there wasn't a whole lot they can do. And I said, look, if my contractions get bad and I say I want an epidural, I want the epidural. I need you to advocate for me.
And they do just that. Help advocate for Beth in hospital. They're not always in the room, though. It's a long birth. And there's times, like after her epidural, when she just needs a moment alone. It's during one of these times when the baby's heart rate drops.
And a lot of alarms went off and a lot of doctors sort of came running in, and one of the midwives said to me, you know, look, they're outside. Can I tell them what's going on? And I thought, oh, my God, like, of course they're standing out in the hallway. And I said, you know, go and tell them, like, bring them back in, that's fine.
The baby's heart rate levels. Dan and Tyson do exactly what Beth needs, giving her space when she asks, because this is hard, physical work, and she needs to focus as the intensity rises.
I was moving around on the bed and I was on all fours.
The midwife checks on her progress.
And she sort of said, oh, okay, you're crowning. I remember turning to the midwife and being like, get a sheet over me and go and get the dads. Like, this baby cannot come without them being here. So they came in and I very firmly directed them up to the top end of the bed, away from the business end of things. They were terrified. And I kept yelling at Tyson, like, no, up that end of the bed. Like, and here I am on all fours with a sheet thrown over the back of me to protect whatever dignity I have left. And I'm saying to the guy, it's like, get up that end, that end there.
And when the baby comes into the world, everyone is gathered around the hospital bed.
They were standing there holding each other, and it was just like, you know, white knuckle grip on each other's hand and watching me and kind of wide-eyed deer in the headlights waiting for everything to happen. And then she was born. I kind of turned over onto my back and I put her on my chest, and I was like, oh my God, you're finally here. And I looked up at the guys and they were standing at this point. They were literally holding each other and they were just like looking at this baby with just pure love and adoration in their eyes. You know, it was just this amazing moment where, and I'm getting emotional now, but, you know, she was finally there. She was okay. All the stress of the labour, all the stress of the lockdown, all the stress of being unwell, she was finally there and they just looked like, you know, I remember thinking to myself at the time, like, I did that. I made this happen. You know, it's not just me, it's a team effort, but in that moment, I brought her into the world and I made this beautiful little family.
A few days later, Beth goes over to Dan and Tyson's place and holds the baby. Her name is London.
One of those things that happens when you have a baby is that you meet this whole new person. And so being able to sort of say, you know, hi and welcome to the world and I hope you have an amazing life and your dads love you so much and I can't wait to see what you do with your life and I can't wait to see what this journey holds for you was, it was a moment and now I'm crying. It's a mammoth journey. It's a mammoth effort.
After that first date over 2 years ago, Beth still hangs out with Dan and Tyson.
Happy birthday, dear London. Happy birthday to you.
Rip. Rip.
If she was still making a spreadsheet of them spending time together, she would have a lot of dates to add to it. And one of the most special memories for her is London's first birthday.
My kids were there and then the family was there and it was nice to sort of see her in her element, see her running around with her family, see the boys kind of doting slash chasing after her and seeing her there in that moment, seeing them there as their family unit, in their larger family unit, it just kind of made it all worth it. It felt amazing because I sat back and I thought, you know, I was part of this. I helped this happen. I helped this come to be. If you had told me 10 years ago this was where I was going to be, I would have told you you were mad.
London is living her best life. And she just celebrated her second birthday.
Very much a go-get-em kind of kid. She will climb anything. She will give anything a go. But she also has a really sweet, sensitive side. She's very much attached to Dad and Daddy, and she loves Bluey, and oh, she is so sassy.
Beth had gone into this whole thing wanting to help grow someone else's family.
It's funny, kind of imagine this picture where I met this nice people and I give them the baby and I walk off into the sunset and my job is done. But I've actually, you know, increase the size of my family as well. I can't imagine my life without Dan and Tyson these days. They're some of my best friends and they're there for my kids and they're there for me.
That was Beth Williams. Our executive producer is Sophie Townsend. Our sound engineer is Russell Stapleton. This episode was made on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people. I'm Father Jackie, and if you are loving days like these, please leave us a review. I'd love to hear from you. See you next time for another story about the moment that changed everything. That's Days Like These on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.